She drank and pulled up, she put the lime in the coconut. She drank and pulled up, she put the lime in the coconut. She called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, to relieve his bellyache. I said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said,
thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode number 93. Now, today I sit down with Dan the Brit Comedy Doc Nightingale. Now, if he's been on several times with the Mile High Show. Some of those archives are available at milehighshow.com, so go back and check them out. Aside from being a stand-up comedian and sketch performer, he is also a respected member of the medical community in Arizona and across the ocean there in Great Britain. He's currently practicing in the Scottsdale area, well, all over, but his base is in Scottsdale. He still lives here in Chino Valley, and he works primarily with dementia patients and patients who need a little help above the neck. That's what he specializes in. He incorporates comedy and skits and characters in some of his treatment programs as well as on the stage in and around the Phoenix area and coming up on the 24th of June right here in Chino Valley. That's why, one of the reasons why we partnered him up with Kim Bowen. Kim, along with her husband, Dr. Robert Bowen, own Bowen Chiropractic, and right next door to them on 794 South Highway 89, part of their property, we talk a little bit about it, is My Place on 89, a virtual office and event center, and that's where we recorded today, a beautiful facility where you can rent it out for a temporary office or meeting place or an event spot. It's a small room. I think it holds about, well, the main room anyway is small. It holds about 50 or so. And then there's some satellite offices and things in there. But it's a beautiful, beautiful building, a log cabin structure on Highway 89. You can find out information at myplaceon89.com about how to secure that spot. And if you are feeling pain, if you need some assistance in the chiropractic world, check out bowenchiro.com for information about the practice at 794 South Highway 89 in Chino Valley, or give them a call, 928-636-7682. Today's show is brought to you by Big Daddy E's Barbecue, Big Daddy E's Smokin' Barbecue. Right there in Chino Valley, Eric Vanier, a good friend of mine and one of the best best chefs in the area and runs a grill like no other. Check out Eric's site, BigDaddyEase.com. They are located right there on the highway, right off the highway, I guess, in Chino Valley, 380 Butterfield Road. They're open Tuesday through Friday from lunch and dinner from 11 to 5. And then on Fridays from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and the reason they're extended out a little bit is out in the patio, some of the greatest singer-songwriters in our area play out there from 4 to 7. Some of the names out there is the booker, Sky Conwell, a friend of the show here. He's out there periodically every few weeks or so, and he books some of the greatest guitar players, singer-songwriters. Paul T. Morris is out there, P.K. Gregory, Les Lyman. He's got a full roster out there every Friday from 4 to 7. So get out there to Big Daddy E's Smoking Barbecue. Some of the best food you'll ever find, some of the greatest music you'll ever hear. And 380 Butterfield Road is where you find them in Chino Valley, right behind the Chase Bank. So again, BigDaddyE's.com. is our sponsor today, as well as our ongoing sponsorship between the Mile High Show and Amazon. So use that Amazon link right there at the Mile High Show website. Click on it. It directs you right over to your Amazon page to sign in, whether that's Amazon or Amazon Prime. It doesn't matter. Doesn't cost you an extra dime. You just do your shopping like you normally do. But it lets Amazon know you got there through us, and they give us a little thank you after the fact. So that helps us plug away here. Right next to that Amazon link at milehighshow.com is a link for Audible. There are over 180,000 audio titles from magazines, comedy, old radio, obviously books. That's their mainstay. But you can click that Audible link at milehighshow.com. It takes you over to the Audible page, and you can choose for free one of those downloads from over 180,000 titles. You get a free download and a free 30-day subscription by using the code at checkout, MILEHIGH. Doesn't cost you anything. And guess what? At the end of 30 days, if you're not happy with it, you can cancel. No harm, no foul, no cost. And you get to keep that free audio download. You know what I got was Born Standing Up, Steve Martin's career in audio form read by the author. A fabulous book, fascinating story, and I got it for free by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. So use that Audible link at milehighshow.com. Choose your free audio download by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. So sit back and enjoy my talk with the Brit Comedy Doc and Kim Bowen from my place on 89 in Chino Valley. Taking notes on what to add and remove from your act on the 24th. Let's put that in the remove.
Right. My
goodness. I'm being serious. I'm trying to get investors. I've got the goats.
You got the what?
Goats.
Goats. Okay.
I want to mix goat's milk with hen's milk and come up with something.
This is a pretty advanced recorder, but it doesn't have the Dan to English dictionary on it.
Oh yeah, we've no interpreter today, have we? Oh, well.
Okay, folks. Tell me. Well, first off, Kim, introduce yourself.
I'm Kim Bowen. I've been in Chino Valley about 15 years. This last time, of course, many years back, lived in Chino. But my husband and I opened Bowen Chiropractic, and 2 years ago, opened my place on 89 for events and business meetings and trainings and whatever the town may need.
Give me a little history on the Bowen Chiropractic, because it's not, correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't just you and your husband.
Correct.
The roots go back a little farther. Right?
Oh, sure. My husband, Dr. Robert, as we call him.
Well, you guys call him that.
Well, yeah.
He has other names out in the community.
Anyways, His dad, who is also Dr. Robert Bowen, practiced in Chino Valley back in the 80s. That's where my husband and I met in high school here. And so his dad's a chiropractor. His grandfather's a chiropractor. Dr. Robert, my husband's sister, is a chiropractor. So lots of family roots. But then we left to go to school and do undergrad training and education, and decided to return back into Chino year 2000.
Nice. Now, so you guys were high school sweethearts. Did you date in high school?
Yeah, I guess you can call it sweethearts. But yes, we met and dated in high school.
I need a video podcast because she just turned a little red.
And again, left Chino as all people want to do as you're graduating high school.
Now, did you graduate from Chino High, or was it Prescott High back then?
No, his class, 92, was the first graduating class of Chino Valley, and 93 was the second.
Nice. Yeah. So strong roots in the community, and still pretty active with the youth sports and the school programs and all that. That's where I see Dr. Bob most of the time.
Yeah, and recently he's stepped away. That could be a whole nother podcast. Yeah. of why and what, but he does still help the youth and the sports kids. He's just not on campus anymore.
Sponsored a basketball team this year for the inaugural, if I'm not mistaken, right? The youth basketball?
Yeah. Yep, Bowen Chiropractic did, and then
who's buzzing? I think that's somebody's phone. Is that you getting a message, Dan?
No. Nobody will write to me on a Friday. Yeah.
Right. And we did a baseball team. Nice. Or actually, it was a baseball field, something like that. So, yeah, we've been doing sponsoring.
So you're really active in the marketing of Bone
Garden. Yeah, that is supposedly my job.
We either bought a field or a team. I don't know. There's something involving little kids in uniforms. Yeah. And it's not the Hitler Youth, so we're good there.
Yeah.
What?
The Chino Youth. I'm just
plug away. Where can folks find out about Bowen Chiropractic?
Well, we have a website. A lot of people do make it there. It's bowenchiro.com. And we have a great facility with a lot of staff members and a very diverse clinic that we do many different types of treatments and therapies, not just manipulations. So.
Now, you were in your new location. Where are you at? What's the address?
794 South Highway 89.
The big, beautiful white.
Yeah.
What style is that? What is that?
Victorian. Supposedly.
Beautiful.
Chino Valley.
beautiful building right on the highway. You've been there, what, 3 years? Three-ish?
3 and a half now.
Okay. I was out here, for the ribbon cutting. I couldn't remember exactly when it was. But beautiful building, but you just moved in from down the road. I remember
when 3 North. Some people still end up down there, and we tell
it's
them
it's a rehab
moved.
Facility now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Counseling service?
Yeah.
Good. So what's the gist of the building we're sitting in here now?
Well, interestingly, when we purchased the property, it came with two buildings. I did ask if we could only have one. I don't need two. And that's not how it came. So the two buildings were model homes. People ask all the time what they were and how they came about. But anyways, they were model homes. So when we purchased, we had to remodel and make them up to code for town. So make the bathrooms handicap compliant and those different things. So this building I rented out for a little while when we first moved in. And because it's a house, it's unique. And a little
beautiful
different.
Log cabin style building.
Yeah, so we left the kitchen. We wanted to leave the majority of the home exactly how it was, and then we had to figure out how to utilize it. And I wanted to be able to share the building. So when I was renting it, it bothered me that only one business, one group mm-hmm. could use it. So after they left, I decided to take the building and allow it to be open to the community.
And it is called?
My Place on 89.
And how do folks, if they're interested in either hosting an event or using it for a cause or a meeting or something along those lines, or using space as a satellite business, how do they reach out for that?
So I have a website, myplaceon89.com. I have Facebook, My Place on 89. And by my cell phone number. So do you want me to give that on the
if
podcast?
If you want. It's up to you.
It's
The listenership we have, you might get some odd calls, but go
great.
Ahead.
So 928-710-9111. And it is a very great facility to hold any type of meeting, event, different things. It's really catered to whatever specifically anybody needs.
So you might really start utilizing your voicemail and call screening after after Monday when this gets posted up. Now, also joining us, myself and Kim, is Dr. Dan, who's been on this show, these mics, probably more than almost as much as me, I think. Dan, what do you got coming up here I'm butchering it already. My Place 89.
Yeah, My Place on 89. On 89 in Chino Valley.
What do you got?
We're
What's
in
coming
Chino
up?
Valley. Kim and I we've put together a special comedy show, which is on the 24th, Friday the 24th of June. It kicks off at around about 7 p.m. Around about that, because you know comedy shows never start on time. But prior to that, we're having a happy hour, so people can come in and enjoy a happy hour with Kim before the show.
All right. What do you got planned? What do you got?
It's stand-up comedy show. It's going to be about maybe run for an hour and a half.
All right. And you doing some of your skits and characters as well?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Maybe? You're quite keeping possibly. It all under wraps?
It's all under wraps. There is some new material. There's some stuff about visiting the dentist. There's a set about going to the chiropractor.
Oh, lovely.
There's a set about eating cookies. There's some new stuff going on.
What about the hair? What color is the hair going to be?
Again,
or is that a surprise?
That's going to be a surprise for the...
it looks like it's time to go back.
It is time to go back.
I see that.
Yeah, I've been...
Get back to something, because right now I see that we're going to change from the Brit Comedy Doc to the Silver Fox, I think.
Yeah, so that's going to be going in for an overhaul very soon. I've got a show coming up in Mesa on Wednesday, so I need to make sure I've got it sorted before then.
All right, for those that aren't familiar with you and your history, give us the little Reader's Digest. Do they have Reader's Digest in London?
They do. No? Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. What? Yeah. Give us the little breakdown of what your both comedy and professional life include, and plug away websites, whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, I came to Prescott from England at about 3 years ago. And I lived in Prescott for a little while until I found an appropriate place to buy in Chino Valley. So I've been in Chino Valley for a couple of years as well, and came over here for work purposes. One of the reasons why I came to Chino Valley or to Prescott, Arizona in general, was that my wife, who's a clinical hypnotherapist, she was doing some research in Prescott to find out whether or not hypnotherapy could benefit people with dementia. And when you research that, my name crops up all over the place. So she contacted me.
As a healthcare professional or as a healthcare sufferer?
Well, you know, healthcare professional, FBI, police.
How close are we to the school right now?
Well, this is it. This is one of the reasons why I did have to leave England, was because the police told me that I had to leave. So... So they sent me here.
So your background in working with dementia patients, how long have you been doing that?
Okay, well, I qualified in forensic psychiatry back in 1992. So whilst Kim was still graduating from high school, I was already studying medicine, psychotherapy, and psychology and psychiatry, so... I'm just a little bit older than Kim, just a bit. And so
You're a little bit older than Chino Valley.
Which is why this is a territorial capital. Which is why I was surprised that this is a Victorian building. Because
you knew Victoria, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. She's a distant relative of mine, yeah. Absolutely. My Aunt Liz talks about her all the time. So forensic mental health and forensic psychiatry is where I originally started out my career. And then I, for some reason, ended up in dementia. It wasn't something I chose. I never chose to work in dementia, but it drew me in. And I've been a clinical dementia specialist since 2002. I was the first senior doctor in dementia in the UK.
Hmm. Now, is that... something that you have family that have suffered from, or that have to endure? No,
no.
What you say drew you in? Why? What was the? What drew you to it?
Well, I was working in forensic, and my line manager came to me and said, "I need somebody to go and work for 6 months in elderly care to cover somebody who's gone on maternity leave." And I said, "Well, I'm not going." Forget that.
So compassion's right up there in your skin.
Absolutely, yeah.
Man.
So he came back 2 days later, and it became a directive, not a request, because I was the junior member of the team, and he'd obviously asked other people. And
so the other guys must be really old.
Yeah, really old, yeah. So I was sent, really, to work in elderly care for 6 months, and I was just horrified at the services and the way that we were treating older people, and specifically treating people with dementia. And, of course, they're not all old people.
Yeah.
I mean, dementia affects younger people too. And one in 150,000 children are born with a type of dementia.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that still called dementia? Is there a different
name for
it? It is
a dementia. It's called Niemann-Pick's type C dementia. but it is exactly the same as Alzheimer's disease.
Really? That is...
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And it manifests around about the age of 12, 13.
And then often diagnosed incorrectly as other
generally,
problems,
yeah,
other issues?
Generalists don't pick it up. Generalists will not pick it up. No.
If somebody's not really in tune or aware as either like educator, school, even parents and things, what might it be confused with?
ADD.
Really?
Absolutely. Or another developmental delay problem or an autistic spectrum disorder.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways in which it manifests that masks the fact that, yeah, it's going to be dementia. So a generalist will not think dementia because most generalists think dementia affects old people. So,
Are you finding any differences from the UK to America?
Oh, massive.
So what are those?
America are
You have an opinion on that, huh?
Yeah, America's about America's about 12 years behind the UK in the way in which dementia services are shaped, delivered.
And what about with the people? Do you notice more in America, or is it equally the same?
No, it's a higher rate. We're starting to see a reduction in dementia in the UK, and I think that's because we have UK-wide strategies, whereas we don't here.
Simplify that for me. I don't know what that means.
Okay, well, in the UK, we have a national dementia strategy that has shaped our services, that has told us how we need to treat people with dementia. Early diagnosis, treatment, intervention, accurate diagnosis. And here, I'll pick a patient up and I'll see that somebody's diagnosed them with... they are pleasantly confused. You know, that's not a medical diagnosis. There's no such thing. So what are you pleasantly confused about? You know, I'm pleasantly confused all the time. So we have an accurate diagnosis in the UK, and we do it pretty quickly. We can do it in a day or a couple of days to make sure that we get that accurate diagnosis, and we don't see that here. So that's one difference, major difference. The other thing is that the biggest group of people susceptible to Alzheimer's disease are American African. And, of course, we don't have American-African people living in the UK. So there's a higher rate of people with dementia in the US because of the amount of African-Americans that live here.
Why is that?
It's a genetic thing. So you've got around about 5.5 million people in the US with a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And then we've got over 100 types of dementia. So Alzheimer's disease is just one of them. So that doesn't take into consideration all the other dementias that people have. So one of the things that I've just recently launched is something called a VADRA, which is a vascular dementia risk assessment process. So I can assess people who's possibly at risk of developing dementia, a form of dementia called vascular dementia.
So a preventative angle as opposed to treating after the fact.
Yeah, I'm looking for their low, medium, or high risk, and then I'm putting a program in place to reduce that risk. Because we know that vascular dementia triggers Alzheimer's disease. So we could all, the three of us could have the neuritic plaques and tangles in the brain symptomatic with Alzheimer's disease, but not go on and develop it. It could just lay dormant forever.
So what's your protocol for that then?
For?
Pre-diagnosing or?
Yeah, pre-diagnosis. And you're kind of looking at people who's got a history. You're looking at their lifestyle. You're looking at their age, any signs of heart disease, obesity, all the lifestyle type stuff that affects and brings on vascular dementia, which is caused by little strokes, little TIAs, transient ischemic attacks. And we know now that having a couple of strokes can trigger Alzheimer's disease. So it could stay there forever, but if you have a stroke, it triggers it. Mm. So it's very, very common to have mixed dementia, which is Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. So my role really in Phoenix is to reduce the risk, bring the rates down by preventative medicine rather than reactive. Because everything here, excuse me, everything in America is reactive medicine. Mm-hmm. There seems to be nothing in terms of being proactive. So there's a lot of stuff going on in Phoenix in terms of dementia strategy. So, for example, Tempe is working towards being the first dementia-friendly city in America. We're not too sure why Tempe was chosen, because it's a predominantly young area with lots of student population and stuff. But the mayor of Tempe, his mother has dementia, so he's got some personal reason for that. And so the strategies that we have in the UK, they're bringing over to the US, and we're trying to introduce some of the same strategies here. So my role, as well as trying to pick up people who are at risk of developing dementia and reducing that risk, is also about treating people who already have a diagnosis of dementia from a psychosocial point of view rather than a medical point of view.
Are you also noticing, I have family members also, that if you don't specifically have Alzheimer's, but you maybe have symptoms, they don't even know what diagnosis to give them, so they don't give them anything, or they make up something that really isn't what they have.
Yeah, again, what we're trying to do, we're trying to educate people, clinicians, mm-hmm. about diagnosis, because when you get to the age of 70, there's something called, we call it in England, senescence. Here it's pronounced senescence. And it's basically when you get to 70, that's when you start seeing the aging process. The brain shrinks, becomes less elastic, the body starts to break down, and it's confused with Alzheimer's disease. So a generalist might diagnose early onset Alzheimer's disease when it isn't, it's senescence. So many people are getting that confused and mixed up.
Without trying to oversimplify what you do, what are some things that people can be on the lookout for as either watching themselves or watching family members?
Yeah, the three main things to look for is your immediate memory, working memory, so short-term memory becoming affected, not being able to remember that you've just had a cup of tea or had your breakfast, not being able to remember somebody's name, not being able to remember an action that you've just carried out, so you go and do it again. That's the first thing you'd notice. But that in itself is okay. That in itself doesn't signify you've got Alzheimer's disease or any of the other dementias. The two things that come with that are disorientation in time and place, and even getting lost in your own house that you might have lived in for 40 years, not knowing how to get to the bathroom from the kitchen or whatever. And the third thing is being able to follow a sequence of events or follow a routine. So if you're famous for making apple pie and the whole family come to your house on a Sunday because of your apple pie, and one day you've put salt in rather than sugar, that can be an indicator as well. So it's usually those three things that you're looking for.
Now, probably everybody at some time has manifested some of those, so you're not looking at certain instances, but patterns that start to develop?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and it's not just one on its own.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, for example, having a hyperthyroidism, so having an overactive thyroid, gives you all the same symptomology of Alzheimer's disease. Hmm. But we can treat that with meds, and within 4 days, you're back to normal. Everything's good again.
So it's a real partnership between being observant as family members, and then also having a good, strong, and clear dialogue with your healthcare professionals. And then thirdly, the healthcare professionals being up to date and well versed in the changing ideas of what dementia is and how it can be treated.
Absolutely. And one of the things we always tell people is holidays are a big telltale sign. You know, you haven't seen your relatives for quite some time because they live out of state, and you see them. And these are the things to look at, and these are the things to look out for when you see them on Thanksgiving or Christmas.
So if you're in close contact with somebody on a regular basis, it might not be as evident to you. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the day in, day out, those symptoms tend to become normal. So when a family member comes in contact with with each other after an extended period of time, it might be a little more stark.
Yeah, it might be a little
of a notification.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting subject, and we are the whole emphasis in geriatric medicine throughout Phoenix is to reduce polypharmacy, so to reduce the amount of medication that we're giving older people. We're trying to cut it down. The geriatric fellowship program at Banner Hospital up in Phoenix, we have talked to the geriatric fellows about because you've got an 8-minute consultation with your patient. If you can stretch it out a bit more, you do, but it's usually 8 minutes. So you've got an 8-minute consultation. What can I do in that 8-minute consultation to help my patient without having to prescribe medication? So the two things that fuel dementia, every dementia, is fear and anxiety. Because you're always in a different environment. Nothing's predictable anymore. Everything changes all the time. My wife has been my wife for 40 years, but every morning when I wake up next to a new person because I don't recognize that face, I don't recognize that person. So it can be very, very frightening. And you're living in this perpetual world of fear and anxiety. So what can I do in that 8-minute window to reduce that fear and anxiety without reaching for a script to give an anti-anxiety medicine? And there are things that you can do. So we've taught those guys some of those strategies and some of those techniques.
The fear being that if it's just taken care of with prescriptions, with anti-anxiety meds, then it's just masking a problem as opposed to actually treating the problem.
That's right, yeah. And we know that if we use some psychosocial interventions and strategies, we can reduce the rate in which dementia progresses. So we can slow down the progression of the disease. At this moment in time, there is no cure for the primary dementias. There's no cure for Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia. We don't have a cure. We have some drugs that may slow down the progression of the disease, but they work for a very short space of time and they work for only a very few people.
Yeah.
So you're trying to use other strategies and changing the environment and changing, making the world more predictable and more safe.
Now, you particularly use other avenues in your treatment and in your interaction with your patients, one of them being being comedy.
Yeah, comedy.
How does that, what part does that play?
Okay, well, my motto every day when I get up is, if I can turn somebody's frown into a smile, we've made a difference to somebody's lives. And many people living with dementia are not happy. You know, they live in that world of fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm. So smiling and being happy is difficult for them.
Yeah.
So my comedy with people with dementia is specifically focused on those guys whose dementia is pretty much progressed towards the end stages. And if I was to stand up and do stand-up comedy in front of a group of people living in memory care who are at the end stage of dementia, it would be a total waste of time, pointless for everybody concerned. If I go into character, then it's different. Because throughout our entire life, 27% of our communication is verbal. So that means 73% is body language. When people lose the ability to understand language, because the parts of the brain are damaged because of the dementia, they can still understand body language. They still read body language. They still understand body language because it's always read at a subconscious level. There's nothing biological about reading body language. Is it a subconscious? And so you can go into character and you can interact and you can engage with people in character and they get it. They get that. They find it funny, even if you're pulling a funny face or, you know, just a funny movement or something like that. And so the character comedy, sketch comedy, is better for that group of people. And they do smile. And even if it's a tiny smile, you know that they've got something.
Now, you'd mentioned you got a thing coming up next week or this week, whenever this posts, it'll be in a few days, in Mesa at a retirement community. But you do some of your seminars, following you on Facebook, some of your seminars, and you also do some performances at other care facilities and retirement homes and things like that. How... explain or give me a couple of examples of how your audience, your the folks watching you, from the time they come in. I've seen you perform. You interact with folks beforehand and after. What kind of difference do you see from the 20 minutes before the show to when you're greeting them after?
Well, one of them,
if any of them stick around.
Yeah, one. Yeah, I was leaving one comedy show one day, and one of these old ladies shouted, "And don't come back!"
Good, so she was paying really close
attention. So she was paying a lot of close attention, yeah, so that was quite funny. But, yeah.
Are you seeing them light up?
Absolutely.
Are you seeing them more animated?
Yeah, you do see them more animated and lighten up, and they start relating to some of your stories, and they start thinking, yeah, that happened to me. I know about that. I can talk to you about that. So, yeah, there is this... it's all about breaking down barriers, because a lot of people know me as the doctor. And then when you go in as a different person and a different character, this barrier is gone.
But that can just be confusing, because they're going to think you're two different people.
I think they get it. They know who I am.
I did that to my mom. My mom lives here close by in Paulden, and she has dementia. And I have a six-year-old son, and I bumped into a buddy of ours at the store about a year or so ago. And she goes, "Hey," and he goes, "Hey, I saw your mom the other day. She seems to be doing really well," because he knows her history. And I said, yeah, she really enjoys when she gets to spend time with Anthony, my son. And he goes, "Yeah," he goes, "but she still has some trouble." I said, "Yeah, you know," I didn't know quite what he was getting at. And he says, "'cause I don't think she knows Anthony's name. She just kept saying, 'I have such a good time with the baby. I have so much fun with my grandson.'" And she kept saying grandson and baby and grandson. I don't think she remembers his name. And I said, "Well, that's not really her fault. When she comes over, they'll play for a half hour. Then I take him in the bedroom, change his clothes, and bring him out again." And we told her we have twins, so she's not really sure which one she's playing.
That's not nice.
No,
that's,
I think it sharpens her. We rearrange the furniture when she goes in the bathroom.
Oh.
I'm working on, I'm not quite
fast. Is
that
part of your protocol, Dr.
I'm
Dan?
Not quite fast enough. When she lays down for a nap, we're going to repaint the living room. Just change the curtains. Bring in the neighbor family to sit there and watch TV. So when she wakes up, I think it sharpens her. It keeps her on her game, which is good. I'm the youngest of six kids. And there were six kids in 7 years. My oldest sister is 7 years older than me. We're all packed in there.
Wow.
And
that could be her problem.
I was just going to say that
is her problem.
She could have gone one of a couple of ways. Either as she is now, completely blissfully unaware of the last 40 years, or she could have spent much of her adult life in prison for manslaughter, because I think at certain points she wanted to kill us all, and it was much deserved. It was much deserved. Aww. We put her through the ringer, and now I recorded a podcast with her and my son. See, I'm getting it. My grandson.
That baby.
Well, people keep calling people when he was first born. I'd be walking through Safeway, and people go, "Oh, your new grandpa." No. Got a lot of fights in. But I sat down. I went and picked him up from school, and I had her with me. And I had, what did I have? See, there it goes. Dean Martin in the CD player. She really likes a lot of the old crooners. And my son, oddly enough, really likes this Dean Martin CD we have. For a six-year-old, he's got a pretty good taste in music. So when we picked him up, the three of us are in the car, and she starts telling stories about when she first heard this song, and it reminded her of her and my dad when they dated. They grew up not unlike you and Dr. Robert. They grew up next door to each other.
Oh, nice.
And dated after high school and got married, and so they've known each other their whole lives. Well, she starts telling stories about their first date and where they went, and... And I'm thinking this would be great. And Anthony's asking her questions. I said, "Well, let's get home. I pull out the recorder and a couple of mics. We start talking, and she immediately just doesn't remember anything. Well, that's what I thought. So I start prodding her a little bit. We're about 20 minutes of, very little story time. I said, let me give her a rest. So I unplug everything. We go and sit in the living room, and she kicks into another story. And I looked at her. I go, what do you do? What do you choose? Well, I wanted to tell you, not that little machine. She was playing me. She remembered. She knew. She just, I think she was waiting for the paycheck is what it was. She says, I'm not going on air unless I get paid.
Exactly, yeah. That's why we're here.
Isn't well, aside from your comedy and your working with your patients, bringing them out and trying to animate them, your comedy profession, your comedy life is not limited to your practice. Where else? What else you got coming up for the Brit Comedy Doc? And oh, if I can't remember. Did we already plug your web and all that?
Not yet.
Do it again. Don't do it. I'll put it in the intro that I record later as well.
Okay. The website for work is dementiatherapyspecialists.com.
And you're based in Scottsdale.
We're
now,
based
correct?
In Scottsdale. Yeah. And you can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, just all the social media sites. We're on there.
Links to that are all on the web. Though.
Absolutely.
So that's
they're all
the
on
one
the website.
That they want to remember.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what was the other question?
The Brit Comedy Doc.
Your phone number?
Oh, yeah, my phone number.
Nobody has that.
Yeah,
nobody
has that. No. There's a free phone number on the website, I believe.
A free phone number?
Yes, a free.
What,
toll free.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought maybe you charged people to call you on your other one. It's a 976.
I do on my other one, yeah.
It still exists.
928, yeah.
A okay, and then the comedy contact info.
Yeah, comedy is britcomedydoc.com. And again, on there, all my upcoming shows and events are posted and listed on there. So you'll find those on there.
And then coming up, other than the 24th?
Without looking, I can't remember.
Put a link, that's fine.
So, but go to the website and you'll find
June 24th, them. Right here where we're sitting.
June the 24th, my place on 89. $10 cover. You can pick up your tickets from Boeing Chiropractor or you can contact the number on my place, 89.
Send me that flyer. We'll stick that up as well.
Okay, Doc. And again, it starts at around about 7 o'clock. There's a happy hour first, so you can come and meet Kim and socialize and have some laughs before you get some more laughs.
Now, this might be really bad advertising, I don't know, but as a medical professional, both of you, I see when I show up here and you're injured, it looks like, and it... The cure seems to be masking tape. Is
yes.
that what?
Yes. And a screwdriver.
What do you got there? What, you fell off a horse? Horse fell off you? What happened?
No, it's a long-term injury, and it's a combination of sporting events, rugby, horse riding, accidents, and weight training, I believe.
Just strained it? What's the tape? He said he got it from you.
Yeah, Kinesio tape.
What is it? Tell me. Is it a trade secret?
See, that's why the doctor should be here. Yeah. Basically, that's
right. He'd use really big words, and I'd be confused.
No. I don't know. It just it works on the muscles. It restructures the way that the muscles are pulling.
So it's a tension type of thing. It's
sort
not
of,
like
but it's not,
it,
on
it's
real,
not a medicated
no,
tape. It's
no,
not
medicated,
okay.
And it's not on real tight. It's very interesting. I wish I knew the medical way to describe it. It's interesting how it works, but when you put it on, it really does relieve the pain and the pressure.
Nice.
So
I don't know,
but
it works
it's not a medicated tape. No,
not
it's
at
more
all.
Of a structural type.
Exactly.
Of a,
I don't
like
do anything.
Brace.
I don't do anything before the below the neck. So and we tend not to put tape on people's heads.
One of the things, one of the things that my mom had looked like, and we'd tease her about it. It looked like a nicotine patch.
Oh right.
But
pain,
it was a
pain patch.
Well, no, it was something to do with her. It helped her memory in some way.
Oh,
yeah.
And I don't remember what it was, but she used it for quite a while, and then recently her doctor says, okay, we don't need to use that anymore. They're slowly cutting back a lot of the meds that she
must
had.
Be an Aricept punch.
I don't know.
Dinepazole. Yeah.
We would just joke around and ask her if she wanted a chew instead. But I had a my old boss years ago was a 4 or 5 pack-a-day smoker, Pall Mall, no filters. And his way of cutting back was to go to filtered cigarettes, and he just smoked more of them.
Oh, perfect.
But then he would wear a nicotine patch while chewing nicotine gum while smoking. And he was able to cut back to like 2 packs a day.
Wow.
We joked. We said we were just going to get all his nicotine patches together and make him a sweater. And then sew them all together.
Yeah, no, can I? I just like to... smoking. Yeah. 3 times the risk...
Really?
...for a smoker to develop dementia.
Mm, that's interesting.
Is that in relation to the vascular?
Absolutely. Wow. Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
That would explain a lot of the folks that I see driving up and down the highway here in Chino.
Yeah. Well, that can't negotiate. It's a roundabout.
When I moved to Chino, I was under the... And I came from California in 04. And California
they
was...
They smoke over there, too.
Well, yeah, but California in the Bay Area where I was from... The was one of the first areas that started banning smoking in pretty much every public place. So, and that had been going on for several years before I moved out here. When I moved out here, it was like I was almost under the impression smoking was a requirement. It was that strong. What's this now? What's that one?
Oh,
it's the number 3 combo.
That was chicken and rice. With noodles, yeah.
What is it? On your shoulder, a little Asian character of some kind.
Yeah, we in Lancashire, there's a seaside town called Blackpool. And Blackpool is a very, very poor, cheap man's version of Vegas.
Laughlin.
Yeah, it's a bit like Ash Fork.
Ash Fork with a craps game going on behind the Maverick station.
That's exactly it, yeah. It's a kind of place where hepatitis C is a vitamin.
Yeah.
So we and we go there to...
Took a hepatitis test. I got a B.
That's right. We go there to drink copious amounts of alcohol and...
And wake up with tattoos.
And wake up with tattoos, yes.
What does it mean?
So I am told it means... Determination, never give up, always striving to get to where you're getting to.
Did your mom tell you that's what it said?
Yeah, good. That's right. That's what my mummy said. I was with my mummy when I had it. She was drunker
you know
than
what
I was.
That's a whole other story.
My mother said, I'll carry you home and you carry me home. Yeah. So I ended up with this tattoo. So I'm not 100% sure what the hell it means.
All right, Miss Kim, you have been in this area, you said, for quite a while. What kind of changes have you seen in the town of Chino Valley? I've seen a lot of changes just in the whatever 12 years, however
long
I've been
here. Of course we have. Things come, things go. You know, the community is growing. More people are coming into town and wanting change. We had a struggle with change for years.
Yes.
I mean, I was here, not that this really dates me, but back in the Tasty Freeze days. We liked
the
Tasty
what?
Freeze.
I don't know what that
well,
is.
Well, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, that was Lawson's, right?
I don't know who owned
one,
it. But
just the one of the last owners, I worked for his wife for a while.
Yeah. So burgers, fries, ice cream. You know, we didn't have a lot here, so we'd go to Tasty Freeze.
Find out what it is.
So no, I, you know, we of course had some downtime with properties and things that went on in Chino that brought things down. I don't even know how many years ago that was. It went up. It went up about 15 years ago. Not 15. Let's see. 9 years ago. And then it went down a little
that
bit.
2006,
yeah,
7, 8
sure.
crash of real sure. estate finance really yeah. hit this area
yeah.
hard.
Which, of course, I have to say we are thankful, my husband and I, because that allowed us to purchase property on the highway, which back when it was up was $1 million
yeah.
dollars, you know. Well, no, we're not going to buy property on 89. But anyway, so we now have a beautiful practice here on the highway and this lovely building, my place on 89, and that allowed us to do that. So it kind of cleaned house a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're just grateful for people coming into the community, new changes, new thoughts. There's still a little fighting going on, but, you know, we hope that kind of cleans up a little bit, and we just stick to our business as we have for 15 years. You know, the thing that I love hearing is Dr. Dan, you know, has comedy, and he you know, gathers people of all different ages to laugh. And really, you know, that's Dr. Robert helps heal people, helps their bodies heal themselves. But, you know, our philosophy and thought is that we want people to come in and enjoy their treatment, enjoy the staff. So we've really worked hard on making the atmosphere, you know, all the time you can hear people laughing and giggling and talking. Dr. Dan knows that. He hadn't got out of control yet, but
that's because Betty's always there watching me.
Is that something you want to talk about, the going in and losing your pants?
Well, that's another story.
Her mother didn't take my pants there. She took my pants in Prescott.
So you've lost your pants in several places.
I've lost my pants.
Including when did you get another tattoo that we can't see
Including Blackpool. Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I can testify that because it is an awesome place to go. Dr.
Right
Robert,
next door to from where we're sitting.
That's right.
On a personal note, my wife was involved in a car accident a couple years ago, a year and a half or so ago, and she was over there for her treatments and absolutely loved it. So.
It is good. And Dr. Robert knows everybody, and he will come into reception and speak to everybody and shake the hand and ask them how they are. Now, being a clinician, I know why he does that, but because it gives you an edge on how people look and how they feel and handshakes. Anyway, but the point is, it is a really nice, relaxed place to go to, and people listen, people will respond to what your issues are and stuff, and it is a cool place to go to, and I really respect both Kim and Robert for what they do in the community and how they help
people. Until I started seeing who they hang out with, and that's starting to question my own judgment.
And man, I just say about some of the changes in Chino Valley is that the Brits are moving in. There's a few Brits here in Chino Valley, I believe. So, we're beginning to move in.
The British are coming.
Well, you know, we're kind of thinking about, you know, we're taking back your women and taking your town and... You know, we're moving in, and we gave America to you a number of years ago.
Lost, you know, it depends on what book you read.
Well, we used a lot of reverse psychology at that moment.
There are parts you
can
definitely have back.
Where we allowed you to throw our tea into the harbor and shoot the redcoats because that was part of the plan, reverse psychology. But
well, no one's been able to take over Chino, at least since I've been here. In the late 80s, so good luck.
Yeah. I think we need reinforcements. Don't we need the Scots to move
there
in.
There are certain properties in Chino I would not recommend trying to take over there.
Okay. I don't
heavily,
know those areas.
Heavily armed. You have seen, well, it's an open carry state. That was one of the first things I saw when I moved out here, aside from walking into every public building, people puffing away on cigarettes. I walk in a Safeway. We hadn't even unpacked yet. It was like our first, second day.
Which Safeway? The old one?
No, the new one. 04 is when we got out.
Chino's only been open about 5 years. There's been two Safeways.
There was,
wow. Two different places.
There was a woman, if I had to guess, 130 years old, maybe.
Yeah, that's young for Chino.
She did not have dementia.
She was pushing a shopping cart, and her hands were on the shopping cart right about eye level. So she was about 4.5 feet, 3.5 feet.
Might have been Betty's mom.
It might have been Betty.
And her mom is short.
And she had and I don't know anything about guns, but it was a revolver in the Old West style, probably about that long, because she had, I'm not joking, her eye line was right at the sight of the handle of the shopping cart, and her elbow was resting on the handle of the gun that was strapped to her waist. It was that big. Wow. And she's just walking through, and I couldn't help but laugh.
Did you get a picture?
No, I was just laughing.
A mental picture.
But in where I grew up, two types of people had guns, the cops and the guys the cops were chasing, and that was it. And here it's very much part of the culture, and that took a lot of getting used to. One of the other things that took getting used to for me is it one, being a small town. I came from a very small town of about 150,000. That was considered a small town. And I moved from there to Paulden was where we started, of 3,800 or so people. But even in Chino, close to 11,000 now. We're creeping up on 11,000. Up until very recently, it was primarily a larger and more vocal retirement community. And what we're seeing now in the past 4, 5, 6, 7 years are more families moving in,
right,
more kids moving in, more families with kids being active in right, town events, town government, and things like that, which is a healthy change.
Yeah, and more families are staying. Yes. We really are noticing that. More families, instead of picking up and leaving and having to get the heck out of here, they are staying and rooting here.
09, 10, 11, mm-hmm, 12, where that economic boom had, that bubble had popped. Mm-hmm. There were so many vacancies, so many foreclosures, so many empty houses. We're seeing that. We're seeing those go away. There's not as many vacancies. There's right, more construction going on now than there have been in the last 10 years or so. And so we're seeing new blood, new movers and shakers in town. Right. And that's kind of one of the things we had talked about when we originally were planning this, mm-hmm, as far as for my place here, your place here.
that's why it's called my place. It's everybody's place.
Wanting to get this facility utilized for more family type activities, right, and organizational activities.
Right.
So again, plug away. How can folks find out about this facility?
Well, yeah. The website, myplaceon89.com. You know, all the information is on there, but, I really, you know, it's not booked all the time. It's booked a lot, but birthday parties, anniversary parties, reception parties, business trainings, there's been all kinds of things, and Christmas parties. We were booked up in December with many local business Christmas parties. And again, the name, My Place on 89, I think it took me months and months to come up with a name, but the purpose of it was, when anybody is saying, I want to meet you, they're going to say, I want to meet you at My Place on 89. It's their place too.
Nice.
You know, when people have their event here, always I get a response back, and it's that everybody enjoyed themselves. It's a very personal place, because you're not in a restaurant. You bring your own things, and you can bring your own food in. You know, you have your family, your friends, and it becomes their you know, home away from home. So.
And very welcoming. You walk in, it's a log cabin. It's beautiful in here. So it's not a sterile banquet room kind of
correct,
a feeling.
Correct.
But the flip side of that is it's very visible on the highway, easy to find, and plenty of parking. So it's a great little spot.
And we've had people come from Prescott Valley and Prescott for their meetings or events. So that's great, too. It gives another option. You know, many places you have to utilize their food options,
yes,
and those things. So it's really kind of a wide open door for whatever choices you want. And the cost is very, very reasonable. So,
all right. And come check it out if you want to see what it looks like from the inside with a crowd full of folks. June 24th, about 6 o'clock.
It's a comedy show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
For the happy hour. So I'm assuming for the happy hour, you'll be outside, Dan?
Yeah, he has to stay out. About 6 o'clock, we'll have open doors to come in early and, you know, see the facility and, you know, meet and greet and hang out. And then the comedy show will start about 7.
Yes.
And then you want to plug in before we go?
Well, I'd just say that if anybody's looking for a clinical dementia specialist, then contact Dr. Dan Nightingale.
Make him show you his tattoo, both of them.
And if anybody's looking for a chiropractor, then the only choice you can possibly make is Dr. Robert Bowen. And the comedy show is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So come out, have fun, enjoy yourselves, and come and meet some new people and some smiley faces.
Cheese.
I'm out.
All right. Talk to something.